It's always wonderful to be here. It's always good to see everybody. And again, always encouraged as I see others following along as we go through the scriptures, which I always encourage you to do, to open up your Bibles and follow along. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus and his and time frame of his death, but not necessarily looking at his death in particular, of looking at that sacrifice, but looking at the sins that put him there, the sins that crucified our Lord. And so as we open up our Bibles, we're going to be looking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a little bit, some verses out of Acts and others that help shed some light on it, but looking actually at what it is that put our Lord upon that cross. And understanding that these sins, and go ahead and make the point now as we start into the lesson, is that these sins are still here today. The same sins that were there that put our Lord and Savior upon that cross. And as we look through the lesson, take a step back and ask if these are situations maybe that we would struggle with, that we might have got caught up in, that maybe, as we would sing that hymn in our hymn books, "I'm the One," would you be one who would be participating in such sins that would have put our Lord upon the cross at this time and point? So start off and point out is that there was unbelief. And unbelief is definitely one of the sins that had caused our Lord and Savior to be put on that cross. Because if everybody at that time and point, if everyone believed in who our Lord was, that he is the Son of God, if the chief priest, if the scribes, if the Pharisees, if Pilate, if the Romans believed in who our Lord was, then they would have not continued through what they had committed. They would have not done this to the only begotten Son of God. And so there was unbelief. Unbelief among the rulers, unbelief among those high in position. Luke chapter 23 and verse 35, if you open up your Bibles there, Luke 23 and in verse 35. Luke 23 and verse 35 here reading, it says, "And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' An inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: 'This is the King of Jews.'" So while mocking our Lord and Savior, going forth and beating him and telling him to prophesy who hit you, and going forth and just continuously mocking our Lord and Savior, I also go to the point of all the way to, you can just hear it as you read it. Of course, we're not to be able to sit there because, of course, they're not speaking English when they're saying these things, but we can picture how this would have taken place. As they're saying, "Oh, you saved others, can't you save yourself? If you really are the Son of God, as you claim to be, can't you save?" They did not believe in who he was. And understand, unbelief is a sin. One who does not believe cannot please our Lord and Savior, as we've been pointing out today in Bible class and worship this morning, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please our Lord. Impossible. And so here, they did not believe in who Jesus was. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 64, John 6 and verse 64, as it reads here, it says, "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." Again, Jesus knew from the beginning that there were those who did not believe. Because they did not believe and Jesus continued to thrive, Jesus continued to have followers. He did have some that were following him. Of course, he had some who did believe and followed him for the right reasons. You had those who were just following to be healed or to be fed, and so some following for the wrong reasons. But he had a lot of people starting to follow him, at least until the point of believing him to be a prophet, believing him to be somebody, a man of God. And so it caused others to be envious, to be jealous, to get caught up and not liking our Lord just because of the attention he was getting, because what might happen to them if his teachings were to continue forward? So they had to try to put a stop to it. And so the next thing I want to talk about, as they're not believing in the Lord, but they also get caught up in envying our Lord. In Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 17 says, "Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy." He knew. And again, in Mark's account, Mark 15, and of course, again, looking at it, the same situation here, but it goes further than just referring to anybody. It goes a little in detail with the chief priests. Mark 15 and verse 10. Mark 15 and verse 10. As it says, "For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy." Again, the chief priest, he envied the Lord. Getting caught up and looking at what the Lord had, what the Lord was doing, looking at those who were following him, they did not like it. They envied. As we go down this line, starting with unbelief, and going down and looking at the envy there that caused him to get up, caused them to get upset, caused them to get jealous, caused them to want to do something about it, to stop this, to keep him from continuing to teach, to keep anyone from continuing to follow, so that they can keep, of course, their high positions that they had themselves. And so with their envy, they go out and they teach the ignorant. If you get caught up in unbelief and your envy, and you get upset with what others are doing, then you go forth and persuade others. They go forth and persuade others that he is not the Lord, that he is a false prophet, that he is blasphemy. They go forth and continue down that line. And so because of ignorance, though, because people did not know, they did not ask questions, they just continue to follow up. As we brought out, the high priest is the one that is envying. And so because of ignorance of men, Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23, and in verse 34, Luke 23 and verse 34 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots." Again, here, they don't know what they do. They don't realize, again, they don't believe, they don't understand what it is that they are truly doing. Again, we can point to the Apostle Paul as he went by the name of Saul. How much he had done in ignorance, not knowing right from wrong, not knowing who Jesus truly was, not realizing that he was going forth and persecuting the true children of God, dragging them out and keeping people from spreading the good news. He went forth and did all of those things in ignorance. Again, this is something that can affect us today. As we continue to look at these sins, continue to look at what it is that crucified our Lord, it is things that can still take place today. Unbelief, envy, ignorance. Again, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, as the apostles go forth and start preaching the word of God, and they go from place to place, here in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 17, it says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers." Again, they go down and point out what they have done, crucifying the Son of God. And not only go to do that, he says, "I know you did it in ignorance. You didn't know. You didn't believe. You didn't look into what it is that had been prophesied under the Old Testament." Because again, they shouldn't have been ignorant. You know, it wasn't that they should just sit there and accept these things and all is all and, oh, this is the person that says he's the Son of God, and so they just follow him. There's many who prophesied and proclaimed to be somebody great. That's what they try to say about the apostles here. They say, if you know, we've had others that have come forward, and, you know, when they die, their disciples stop teaching, they go away. You know, if it's of the Lord, though, it can't be stopped. You see, there's so many prophecies. So many prophecies. So many things that were written under the Old Testament, by the prophets, that pointed to our Lord. That if they would look to those prophecies, see them being fulfilled, if they were studying and if they were reading, and the priests were pointing these things out as they took place. Again, ignorance is not truly a good excuse. That's why it's still a sin. That's why we point out that one has to seek, one has to be looking, one has to be willing to work to gain their faith. Asking the right questions, seeking the right answers. But in their ignorance, they crucified our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Again, it just makes that point. If you really knew, if they had known, who would have lifted a hand against them? Who would want to take the opportunity as we see other, you know, Mary and Martha, right? And sisters going and being busy, but the one who acknowledges and realizes and not ignorant of the situation at hand sits down and listens to what Jesus has to say. You can't get caught up in missing out just because we do not know. We have to be willing to search the Scriptures, know what it has to say. And of course, with that ignorance, they were persuaded by lies. They got caught up in following others because they got caught up in lies. In Luke chapter 23, Luke 23 and in verse 2, as it reads here, it says, "And when they began to accuse him, saying, 'We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is the Christ.'" Is Christ a king? So here they go forth and bring up false accusations, finding false witnesses. Mark chapter 14 and verse 56. Time and again, they try to find people who were willing to lie about who our Lord and Savior was, about what he was teaching, about what he had done. Of course, here in Mark's account, it brings out it wasn't really working for him, because as it reads out, Mark 14 verse 56 says, "For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree." The problem is that they didn't line up their stories before they came in front of him. But again, lying is just, it's another sin that's still out there today. You go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and part of those that are cast into the eternal lake of fire are all liars. They bore false witness, that's lying. Again, as we sit here and we look at it, we go down this list. Where would you be in this situation? Where would we be? And of course, it's hard to truly say. This is where I've been. I've been right beside Jesus. I've been following him. Well, that's exactly what Peter said. His cowardliness, he had braveness at a moment. And at another, was ready to run away. And then you go down the list of all the other things that we've been talking about, and it's easy to get caught up seeing how sin is what crucified our Lord. Which we know the love of money has to be brought out in this. As we turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And in verse 14. Matthew 26 and in verse 14, it says, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' They counted out him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." In John chapter 12 and verse 6, it goes forth about what he was saying about selling stuff. It brings out, well, that's because of his love for money, right? Because he was a thief. When we look at these sins, they're nothing special. They're nothing new. There wasn't a new, big, great sin that needed to be committed in order to crucify the Son of God. And you would think it would be, right? It's the Son of God. There had to be something more special to it. Simply getting caught up in lack of belief, lack of faith. As we've been talking about, that's our study this morning and finish up on Wednesday night. Study of faith. Trust, being convicted, willing to work, searching for the truth. But if we don't seek it out, we don't truly seek for the true faith, and we go along in ignorance, not willing to open up our Bibles, then it's going to be easy to be lied to, just taking the word of mouth from anybody, being persuaded by the blow of the wind. Maybe persuaded by money. Maybe persuaded by the lie. Maybe because you're just simply envying other people. These aren't great sins. They're nothing new. But it is what crucified our Lord. It's what continues to go on today. We need to watch our steps. So easy to get caught up. And again, I know we do. I know I do. I do it when I read through Exodus and I read about the children of Moses. Children of Moses. Children of Israel and Moses. I word that right here, man. Or when we read about those who saw the miracles Jesus performed. I always think about Peter walking on water. I don't see how someone goes from walking on water to sinking. Obviously, it could happen. I can't say I'm greater than Peter. He was walking on water. I don't see how you can lose faith while you're literally standing on top of it with Jesus. But when you put your focus on something else, when you lose faith, you let the things of the world swallow you up. I don't want to leave without extending an invitation today, a short lesson to just talk about sins that we can see continuing throughout this world, throughout time, till the end. There's always these temptations that we have to overcome every day. So we always extend the invitation to any who need the prayers of the congregation to help you overcome that temptation. To any who need to come to God to ask for forgiveness. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known. We stand and sing.